This is Hometown Heroes, celebrating everyday Americans who answer the call of duty.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, and today's focus on the surprising news that the USS Indianapolis has been found 3.5 miles deep on the ocean floor, 72 years after it was sunk by a Japanese submarine. In a few minutes, we'll find out what that means for a man who was just 4 years old when his father was killed in that disaster. This news caught him completely by surprise. But what about the man you were just listening to, Indianapolis survivor Adolfo Harpo Celaya of Florence, Arizona? Here's how he found out this news more than 7 decades in the making.
Well, I had the pilot's wife, Norma Gwen, call me up. She's the one to find out first, I guess, and she called me up. And then after that, I started hearing from different people coming over to call me that they had found the ship.
And so when you say the pilot's wife, you're talking about the pilot who spotted all you guys still floating in the water.
That spotted us in the water, you know, that found us by accident.
Yeah, and if he hadn't seen you by accident, you wouldn't be talking right now.
Yeah, we wouldn't be talking, that's correct.
So he's the one who was responsible for saving your life, and now all these years later, his widow...
Everybody calls him the angel up at the... when they have the reunions up in Indianapolis, yeah.
So the angel's widow is the one who told you that this ship had finally been found. What did that mean to you to know that they found it? Is that significant for you?
Well, if you hadn't found us, I guess we would have never heard about the Indianapolis. I mean, still be a mystery, I guess.
And have you been seeing the photos coming out and everything?
Oh, yeah. But they showed it on TV and stuff like that. So I've seen a few of them. Not many of them, but I don't want to see too much of it anyway, so...
I mean, it's been 72 years, and the last time you were on that ship, it was right before you guys got torpedoed and sunk in such a hurry. But to see those photos, what you have seen now.
Just memories come back, and so everything kind of building up again, so you get excited and stuff like that. Then you start thinking how many of the shipmates went down with the ship, you know, and you start thinking about those things. So
when you say you don't know how much you want to look at, you're concerned about bad memories flooding back?
I saw where it showed the number of the ship and stuff like that. And I seen it also had the anchor on there and stuff like that. So I seen that. So when it comes out a little more, I guess I'll be looking at some more pictures and stuff like that.
I mean, it's been a few years now since the first time you and I talked about this. And I know a lot of things have happened since then. I mean, you've been part of a lot of different efforts to preserve the history of the Indianapolis, and you've seen the documentary come out, a major motion picture come out, books come out, and now this giant discovery. Have any of those experiences added to your perspective or changed the way you feel about all of it or made any of it easier to deal with?
To me, it's the best thing that has come out is the documentary that has come out. That's the closest that I've seen that has been the best telling of how the survivors came out of it and all that stuff. And she interviewed quite a few survivors, so she did a very good job on doing the documentary on that, you know.
Is this something that you've thought about over the years? Maybe someday your ship would be found and that would mean something to you?
I never thought of that. I thought that it was going to stay down all the time. I mean, I never thought anybody would find it. When they first talked about it many years ago, they said it was in waters where it was probably about 6 miles down. And now that they've talked about it, they said that it wasn't that far down, that it was only about 3 miles down. So it surprised me that it wasn't that far.
Yeah, it's only about 3 miles down, but it's remarkably preserved. When you see those photos, can you picture being in that same spot on the ship when it was still floating?
Oh, yeah. It looks like, because I was on the tail end, so that when the ship went down, the tail end was the last one that went under. So I think the tail end is probably the farthest. Probably later on we'll have more photos of it.
The last I heard, there's only 19 of you survivors left.
Yeah, 19 of them, huh? So we're going down pretty fast, I guess.
Well, and there are so many others who are the families of those guys who didn't survive. who never got to hear their father's account.
And that's the ones that I think that I kind of feel kind of bad about it, because probably now that, that it's come out, the families of how many of those did go down with a ship or somebody, and how many of them were up in the water and were taken by sharks and stuff like that, you know. So there was never an actual count of how many went down and how many stayed up, you know. So they estimated, but not, I don't think they had the right amount, you know.
Yeah, and I'm just wondering if this discovery might have the potential to connect more people, to connect some of you survivors with the families of the fallen.
Now that they found the ship, it looks like they're getting more publicity and stuff like that on it. I remember when we first came out, when the war was over, there were very small little articles about it, you know, about the how many shipmates we had lost and stuff like that. But very small articles, and it wasn't well, very well known until most of these books were started coming out, you know, Fatal Voyage and all those other ones that came in. And now that Sarah has come out with this documentary has been up in Europe and stuff like that being shown and everything.
And I remember the first time that we spoke years ago, you said that there were parts of this that still came back to you and bothered you. Does that still happen
well,
to you?
It's been bothering me for all the time. I mean, this doesn't go away. I mean, the Veterans Administration has sent so many psychiatrists and everybody to come over and talk to me and everything, but and everyone's tried to say that, tried to forget, tried to do that, and you can't do that. That comes to you almost every day. You can't go to bed at night and not think about it. In the last two or three days, I haven't gone uptown or haven't gone into a place where one or two people come right up to me and said they saw it on TV, and oh my God, how can this have happened and stuff like that. So it is getting up to the people now. They understand it a little bit more, or they hear about it more now. Where a few years ago, nobody seems to know anything about it, but all of a sudden, everybody seems to be realizing what had happened 72 years ago.
Does it ever get any easier for you?
Oh, no. Like, when this happened, I mean, it took a little longer to go to sleep for a couple of days or a couple of nights and stuff like that, but I guess in time it'll go away a little bit. I don't think I'll ever forget until they put me on the ground.
Nope, and we all hope that day is a long way off. That is Adolfo Harpo Celaya of Florence, Arizona, where next month the post office on Main Street will be named in his honor. And in introducing our next guests, I hope I don't confuse you, and I hope you believe me, because it's a story that definitely dropped my jaw. After I first interviewed Harpo Celaya in 2010, and that conversation was posted on the internet, I heard from a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel in Alabama named Paul Leffler. Same name as mine, same spelling. He had stumbled across our interview when entering the search terms USS Indianapolis and Paul Leffler. And he used those search terms because his father, Paul E. Leffler Jr., was a 28-year-old seaman aboard the Indianapolis, who had survived many a battle aboard the Indy, but did not survive the ship's final mission. I spoke to Paul Leffler III on the phone at the time, and we've stayed connected online. When I heard the news about the Indy being found, naturally I thought of him and what it must mean for him and his family. And then I thought, well, you'd probably like to hear from him too. So we're joined now by the real Paul Leffler, Paul Leffler III of Fairhope, Alabama. And Paul, I know you were only 4 years old when this happened, but do you remember what it was like growing up as a boy with the knowledge that your father had been lost at sea?
Well, I have a vague memory of my father. And one of the memories is that when they were hit in the strike at Okinawa and they came back to San Francisco for repairs, he came home at that time. And I have a vivid memory of that time when he was here. We actually took a professional family photograph of the four of us, the family. He was not in uniform. He was in a suit. And I remember all that. And my grandfather had a house on Mobile Bay, and we went down there. And I do remember that part of it. Now, I had a really great childhood. My mother never remarried. I had a brother that was a year younger than me. And I really didn't have any emotion about my father until I became older and realized what my mother had gone through, which was the news was given to the families that she had been sunk the same day VJ Day was, when everybody was euphoric about the end of the war, and then she got this telegram that he was missing in action. And then I understood what kind of suffering that she went through for that to happen to her. So those were kind of the emotions that I had when I was growing up, and I never wanted her to have to go through anything like that again, were my feelings about it at the time.
And what about trying to learn more about your father or what he did on the ship or what happened to the ship? Was that something that you were always interested in, or did you stay away from it?
No, what happened was sometime in my 20s when I was, graduated from the Citadel and had gone on active duty. I mean, my mother had always, we'd always had news clippings and that kind of thing around the house, you know, so I knew a lot about it, but I didn't seem that interested in it. I always considered him a hero and all that kind of thing, and that's why I think I went into the military. There was a doctor who was on the Indy who survived, and I think he wrote the first book that I'm aware of about the sinking, and my mother gave me the book, and once I read that book, that's when I became somewhat interested in it and what happened to the people who were on board. The fact that he was missing in action and nobody could ever tell my grandfather what happened to him was the main focus that I had, was that, you know, nobody could tell anything about him, what happened to him. He was on the bridge, his watch was over at midnight, and they were hit right after midnight. I had the last letter that he wrote my mother, and he wrote it from the ship when they had sailed from San Francisco to deliver the bomb. And in that letter, he talks about one of his good friends. Now, he was 28 years old, so his friend had to be older, around the same age, because his friend had a father who was a commander in the Navy, and they had dinner with this friend's father, who was the commander. And I located his name to see if he knew anything about my father, and he also did not survive. So there was really nothing that anybody could tell me, so I really didn't do much about it after that because nobody could tell me anything. Mm. So what happened was when the ship was discovered Saturday, it was just a huge surprise because I didn't know anybody was even looking for her. Mm. And I was so surprised and excited. I was getting ready to go pick up a sister-in-law from the Mobile airport who was coming in from Michigan. And I'm getting everything together, and I just received, I think it was on Facebook. And I walked out without my keys and locked myself out of the house.
Oh, no.
Because it was so exciting to me and so surprising. Those were the first emotions that I felt. And then on the way to the airport, you know, I felt this. They were all positive emotions, no negative emotions at all. I felt this euphoria that she had been discovered. I felt this joy. I was in awe. I was relieved. I was, all these things were running through me. And I think I'm different from a lot of the other people who were on the Indy because of the fact that my father was MIA and we never knew what happened to him. So to me, it was such a relief that the ship had been found, and that then you throw hope into that emotion because he may be still there. We never knew whether he got off the ship, whether he went down with the ship. And so that's why these emotions came to the surface. Mm. And I guess the biggest emotion that I now have is a gratitude and a gratefulness to Paul Allen for what he did to find the Indy. So that's basically what I'm feeling right now about all of it. And hopefully, he's going to do something for the families, which he said in this Facebook page of his. So I'm interesting to look forward to see what's going to happen about that.
Yes, and we'll be eagerly waiting to find out, too, as we follow these new developments. We need to catch our final break, but I want to hear more about what this means to you and more about your father's legacy. He is Paul Leffler of Fairhope, Alabama, and you can feel in his voice how big a deal this is for him and surely for other families who lost loved ones on the USS Indianapolis 72 years ago. Like Paul, many of them didn't know a search for that legendary ship was underway, so the news from Paul Allen and his research vessel Petrel was a big surprise. I have links to Mr. Allen's website and all that direct source material for you at hometownheroesradio.com and the Hometown Heroes Facebook page, and we'll be right back after this.